Hey folks, Dan with Holy Spirit Soapbox. I hope you are doing well. I pray for you always. I pray that you understand God's love for you and that everything he did on the cross was for him to be with us, for you and I to be with him forever. And speaking of prayers, I want to talk about praying today. I really do, because praying is so important to us Christians. It's so important to God for us to be praying and talking to him and seeking that relationship with him, that communication with him. You know, being parents has shown Stacy and I so much about God's love. Now, our kids love to ask for things. As a matter of fact, we encourage them to ask for things. We want them to ask when they want something, even if it's totally selfish or self-centered. Now, I'm not telling everybody how to parent here, okay? But in our household, we want our kids to feel comfortable coming to us. And that also gives us the opportunity to educate them on their ask, if needed, of course. And why this is so important is because we have learned through our children that God likes to answer us and give us the things we need when he decides. So life is full of yeses and nos and maybes and not nows. Now, we know when we read the Bible, it says in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, says, "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." Interesting. Now, we also see different variations of the same statement by Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11 say, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Wow. Okay, continuing on to Matthew. Matthew 21:22 says, "And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." Now, we like to interpret this as ask anything and you'll get it because God promised that, thus leading people to maybe ask for a couple billion dollars or something for personal gain. You know, even if it's not outspoken that they want $1 billion for personal gain, it's in their hearts, right? Or other things that might primarily benefit self. Now, let's put it this way. A couple days ago, our son was asking if he could start playing with one of his toys. Wasn't a loud toy, wasn't dangerous. It was one of his toys. It was really nothing to balk at, right? It was just a toy. Now, our answer was, "Oh, yeah, we don't mind. Go ahead." Because honestly, it didn't really matter if he played with that toy or not. Now, there have been other times where he might ask for candy and we might have to give him a yes or a no. Obviously, depending on that time of day or the amount of sugar he already had or if it's something he could choke on and so forth, right? That's when we give the yes or the no. Then there are times we have to say, "I don't know, we'll see." Now, it's not to be mean or anything. I'm sure if you're a parent, you know, you've said, "Well, yeah, we'll see," right? Because you got to think about it. Sometimes we want to see how the day pans out. Or maybe Stacy and I want to talk about it first to agree if it's something that might benefit him. Whatever it is, we give him to maybe or we'll see. Then it struck us like, wow, God probably does the same thing, except it's for the glory of him. Huh, how weird is that? He probably does the same thing with us. Now, the two verses I stated previously in Matthew and Mark and other Gospels, actually three verses, out of context seems to be totally an open door to ask for whatever and it will happen without question. Now, Jesus is speaking specifically to those apostles around him at the time, okay? But also with us, he's letting us know that if we are aligned with his will and are of the Spirit, then it will be done. And yes, there is an open door with God, and by all means, ask. I mean, our son has no problem asking for ice cream at 8 a.m., right? Listen to ice cream for breakfast, by the way. So shoot, go ahead, ask God. Have the confidence of a kid to ask for something like that. That's crazy and wild. But just know, it'll be a yes, no, or a not now. The most important thing to ask yourself when you ask God, though, is it for me in some form to benefit me from a self-centered standpoint? Or is it for the glory of God? Let's say you prayed. Let's say you pray to God and let's talk about the yeses. It's a yes. When God says yes, it was most likely in response to the Spirit working in us all for the glory of God. The gospel and the letters of John describe this pretty openly. Okay, so John 15, Jesus is talking about first abiding in him and he in us. We have to place our identity in Jesus Christ first. And if so, then we're gifted the Spirit. And if we're gifted the Spirit and we're of the Spirit, when we pray, it will not be in vain. He describes this as remaining in his love. This is verse 10. And then in verse 16, he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that you, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." When we choose to be of the Spirit, we are chosen to bear lasting fruit. How do we bear lasting fruit? By asking for prayers in vain and being of the flesh and being carnal? Probably not, right? It's by abiding in Jesus, being of the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, and seeking things that glorify God to love him and love others. Okay? That's your yes. That's your definitive yes. And sometimes it's a yes in the form of a, sure, go ahead, right? But we have to know and remember that everything that happens and everything given as a yes is for the good of those who love him. That's Romans 8:28. Let's say we pray for $1 billion, okay? And it just so happens it's a yes. Woohoo. The giving of that money to you is for the good of God, okay? But it might even come with pain for you. God also allows these things to happen, even asking in vain to give us a reminder of what we actually need, not what we think we need in the form of a want, okay? That $1 billion might become more of a lesson or a blessing sprouting from a lesson, or a lesson sprouting from a blessing, right? It rhymes, but you get what I'm saying here. Some of you might not be saying, and I've joked about this as well, "Well, let me get the $1 billion and we'll see if it's going to be a blessing or a lesson for me," right? I know, it's funny, but if you're truly saying this and meaning like, "No, seriously, give me the $1 billion and let's see if it's going to work for me. I'd rather have $1 billion and discover if it was a blessing for me or a lesson for me." Is the risk of potentially putting a wedge between you and your creator worth the $1 billion? Right? This will tell you where your heart is, however you answer that. Now, we joke, like, would I really like to have $1 billion? Of course, selfishly, yes, I would in real life. But if it will, in fact, drive me away from God, then I actually don't want it. Now, there are many reasons why God may say yes, and then I don't know all of them. No one does. We just have to trust that the yeses were given to glorify him and that it was good for the purpose of bearing good fruit. Okay, what's the opposite of yes? No. And a lot of us question this a lot. We're like, why are my prayers not being answered? Or why is it a no? Well, let's talk about that. Let's actually look into the Bible, I should say, because the Bible has all the answers. James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 say this. "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." Have I ever told you folks that I love the book of James? I love the whole Bible, but I really love the book of James because James is just so straightforward and to the point. It's amazing. James is being blunt. You know what causes fights among you Christians? Being of the flesh, being carnal. When you ask God for something, you do not receive. Why? Because you're asking for the wrong motives, purely in vain. You know, sometimes we even ask for something in vain with the thought that you could bring God into it. Let's think about that example. Let's go back to the example of asking for $1 billion. How about that? Well, you might say, if I have this $1 billion, I can go out and do so much in the world. I would spend it all on the people in need. I would build things and change lives. I would do this and I would do that and I would fly here and I would do that and I would build homes for people, all the homeless people. I'd give food to everybody. That's proof of loving people, right? Well, first off, will you really do that? Ask yourself, would you really do that? If you had $1 billion today, would you take the majority or if not all of the $1 billion and do what I was just saying? Spend it all on the people or spend a ton on people. Maybe you would, okay? But would you maybe start seeking more worldly material things? Will it start to hurt your relationship with God? Or maybe your spouse's relationship with God? Or maybe your kids' relationship with God? Or other people in your circle of friends and family's relationship with God? Or your relationship with them? Will that money somehow give you more dependency on that money? Will you start to do anything to keep that money or for to get more money? How about this? What if you giving money or worldly possessions to others start to make them worship you? What if you build homes for people and they fall in love with their possessions and it's actually something that puts them in a worse relationship with God? These are just some questions, right? And one example. But can you see all the potential things that can come from just one prayer that was in vain? Now, I'm not saying that if you actually do have $1 billion right now or more or, you know, millions or even a couple thousand dollars to not go and do good deeds because these things might happen. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that we can control how people would react to how we show love or good deeds or maybe give to them. But the point here is that God says no because he does know everything. And he knows how everything will react or everybody will react to something happening to them, including a prayer that is answered. Keep that in mind. God is all-knowing, all-seeing. He sees everything. He says, oh, if they build a house for that person will start worshiping that guy. I can't have that. But what happens if the ask is for someone to be healed and the answer is no? I do not have the answer to this, but God does. And I always say, I don't try to learn God's mind. I just know God's heart through Jesus Christ. I trust that the disability or illness or whatever it is for the good of the body of Christ. It sounds crazy, but I have to trust that that was allowed or that happened for the good of the body of Christ, which also leads into the next segment here of what if the answer is not now? Might be a yes, might be a no, or it might be a not now. I don't believe that there are any maybes with God. The same way there isn't any real maybes with humans, if you really think about it. We say maybe. Stacy and I will say maybe because we want to ensure with our little brains, our tiny little brains, that the decision that we're making is a good one. God doesn't need to do that. He doesn't need to second guess himself. The answer, if it's not a yes or no, is usually not now. So technically it's a yes, but it's a not now. Think about asking for $1 billion again. The goal is to inherit riches or to partake in vast materials and maybe even peace, knowing money is not a factor for you now. Doesn't God promise this all in the afterlife? John 14:2 says, my Father's house has many dwelling places or mansions. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? Now here, out of context, we say, oh man, we're going to have a mansion. Sick. It is pretty cool or sick, right? But this has different translations here, and mansion just happens to be the one to show that God is allowing us into his inheritance, the things that we are able to partake in heaven. Everything that he owns is ours if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior in the Spirit, right? The point is Jesus prepared a place for us where there is no more pain or suffering, and we can partake in all God has to offer. You'll be able to feel the peace and comfort of not having to worry. It will just not be in a form of worldly material items, but it's true peace in heaven. Now, I'm not a fan of cherry-picking verses, and it might seem like I've done this today. But the entire point of all of this is one common theme that we see within the Bible. Seek first the kingdom. Matthew 6:33. And you will get what you ask for. If you seek God first, seek the kingdom first, seek pushing and projecting the kingdom forward first and loving God, then things will not be asked for in vain. Okay, but never stop praying to God, though. Tell him how you feel. Tell him to seek your heart. The point of praying is a way to express your relationship and trust in God. Following Christ and praying to him in his name may not change a circumstance, but it will deepen that bond with him. Prayer is meant to change our hearts and perspective on any current situation. He may provide a miracle or a change if it's in his will to be done, or he may not, so that he can be glorified in a different way. It's more for providing a way through a situation with your heart than it is for him to change a situation. It also reveals where your heart really is. There were times where, yes, I've asked for things in vain, but then I realized they were in vain. When I would ask for $1 billion, I would search my heart as to why I'm asking for $1 billion. Well, I want peace and comfort. Okay, how about this? I should ask for peace and comfort in Christ, or I should seek his word. I should start being of the Spirit and stop worrying as much. I should seek Christ so that I can love him more and serve him more and love and serve his people more, regardless of how much money I have or don't have. Your needs will be provided when your needs align with God's will and his Spirit. That's what he promises. He does not promise $1 million, $1 billion, $1 trillion here. He does not promise mansions. He does not promise cars and amazing things and concubines, right? I mean, look at Solomon, right? What money does to people. And it's not even money. He doesn't also promise that he's going to heal what you have or don't have as an ailment. He doesn't promise that he will heal that here. He will in the next life. All of those things will happen. That's part of the not now. But while we are here, we have to walk in the Spirit. We have to align ourselves with the Spirit. We have to abide in Jesus, as he says, and him abide in us so that the Spirit moves and then fruit will bear for the benefit of God's glory in the kingdom. Not us, not just us. In turn, when you do that stuff, you will be content with what you have. You will be able to see God in every single circumstance. Your perspectives will change. Again, God may not change a circumstance, but he will change your perspective when you follow Christ and you love him and love his people. Now, I have a few questions to ask you to really tie this together and dig deep. Question number one, what does your communication with God look or sound like? Really dig into your prayers. Question two, how can we align ourselves with God's will so that we can find peace and comfort in that versus things that are non-eternal? And finally, what can we do to help others strengthen their communication and prayer relationship with God? Now, folks, I'm not sure of what you may or may not have in your possessions. I've known some people with no possessions. I've known really good friends that were homeless. And then I know some people that have never been homeless and never had issues with money or have a lot of money and a lot of possessions. But either way, what I do know is that God is good. God loves you. And God loves you enough to tell you and show you and prove to you that you are blessed regardless of what possessions and materials and stuff you have. And the reason I know this is because he died, like he came to earth and died and went on a cross. And then he came back up. He resurrected for you, for me, regardless of where we are in the world, regardless of what our status or hierarchy looks like. He doesn't care about that stuff. What he does care about is you. He loves you. And he wants you to be with him forever. And everything will be and is complete in Christ. Let's take our prayer postures, if it's safe to do so, and let's pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your death and resurrection to conquer death so everything can be complete in Christ, in Jesus the Christ. We surrender our lives to him. We surrender our lives to your will. We surrender everything to you because you love us so much that you want us with you forever. We ask that if there are any concerns for needs, that they are taken care of, but that we align in the Spirit so that we understand what our needs are. And we ask you keep us away from the temptations of the non-eternal. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.